Please be seated. Jack Benny is known for his penny-pinching and miserly ways. Once, while he was walking home late in the evening, he was accosted by a man. The man pulled out a gun and pointed it at Benny and said, "Your money or your life?" Shocked, Jack Benny just stood there frozen. After a little while, the robber said, "I said, your money or your life." And Benny said, "I'm thinking about it. I'm thinking about it." Some decisions are hard to make. Jesus said, "Those who eat my flesh and drink my blood abide in me and I in them." As I pointed out last week, this is and was a difficult saying. In fact, it was so difficult that we read today that many of Jesus' disciples turned away and no longer walked about with him. It was just too hard. It was too much to take. Now, we're not talking about his enemies here, but his disciples. Jesus had offended their sensibilities, and they wouldn't take it anymore. So they left. It may be when they first began to follow Jesus, they were certain of their decision, and they felt they were committed. But now, they couldn't understand him. He had crossed the line. So they decided to leave. We have a decision offered in our Old Testament reading today as well. Joshua said to all the people, "Choose this day whom you will serve." And the Israelites under Joshua made the decision to commit to following God. And that generation was very faithful in following God. Today's gospel reading, Jesus asked his 12 disciples to make a decision. He said, "Do you want to go away too?" Peter's reply was, "To whom else can we go? You have the words of eternal life." He and the other 11 guys committed to following Jesus. Why? What was it that made them able to commit to follow? Were they simply better men than the other disciples? What about the ancient Israelites? How were they able to follow God in all his ways when the generations that followed them failed so miserably? Was this group of Israelites like the 12 disciples simply better than the rest? Perhaps, but I think there was another reason as well. As always, context is really important. When does Peter say these words? Sometime in the afternoon, after this long bread of life discourse that Jesus has just had with these people. And when particularly is that? Well, it's the afternoon of the day after he fed those 5,000 on some hill in around the Sea of Galilee. And it's the afternoon after the very early morning when Jesus had been walking on the water. The disciples saw him. It was stormy. Disciples saw him. And Peter hopped out of the boat, you recall, and walked to Jesus. And then he lost track of what he was doing. And he began to fall into the water. And Jesus had to fish him out. This was the afternoon right after all that had happened. So that was really fresh in their minds. Less than 12 hours ago, when Jesus and Peter got back into the boat and Jesus calmed the wind and the waves, all the disciples said to Jesus, "Truly, you are the Son of God." What about the context when the Israelites said what they did to Joshua? Well, it was right after they had come out and occupied the Promised Land. Listen again to what the Israelites told Joshua. They said, "It's the Lord our God who brought us and our ancestors up out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery, who did those great signs in our sight. He protected us along the way that we went, and among all the people through whom we passed. The Lord drove out before us all the peoples, the Amorites who lived in the land. Therefore, we also will serve the Lord, for he is our God." They were telling Joshua, "We know this God. We know he cares for us. and will be faithful to follow him. And they did. They were faithful. So what do we learn from these two examples? We see the Israelites committed themselves to following God, and the disciples committed themselves, the 12 anyway, to following Jesus. What sets them apart? Well, in both of these cases, these groups of people had had personal experiences with God. The disciples had seen many, many signs and miracles Jesus had performed, but they had just gotten off the boat after seeing Jesus calm the storm and pull Peter out of the water. They had lived with him and walked around with him. They had sat around campfires in the evening, talked and listened and learned. There was a personal relationship that had developed. And it was from that relationship that Peter said, "We have come to believe and know that you are the Holy One of God." Left unsaid, perhaps, were the words, "We too are struggling with those difficult teachings. We too struggle with all the demands you make on us. Nonetheless, we love what you do and say, and we're committed to following you because we know you. We believe in you." Well, that's where we want to be as well. We want to be able to say, along with the Israelites, "We will serve the Lord, for he is our God." We want to say with the disciples, "We have come to believe and know that you are the Holy One of God." And then we want to be able to commit our lives like they did. But when things get tough, when things happen we don't understand, then what? How does our commitment hold up then? What keeps one's commitment strong? We see strong commitment comes from relationship. Strong commitment to God comes from relationship with God. But how can this happen? How in the world can one practically have a relationship with Almighty God? We believe in God, certainly. We believe in Jesus Christ, his Son, absolutely. And we say those words week after week after week. But relationship, how can someone have relationship with God? After all, we can't see God. We don't hear God speaking to us in an audible voice either. We can't taste, touch, or smell God. God's not perceptible to any of our five senses. And we use those five senses to develop relationships with everybody else. The fact is, God is spirit, and our senses are physical senses. But God made humanity with a body and a spirit. The fact is, God is spirit, and our senses, God is spirit, and our senses are physical senses. But because God made us with a body and spirit, that's how we and God connect. We connect through our spirits. Well, the next logical question is, how in the world do we connect to God through our spirits? It takes time and practice to develop spiritual sensitivity because we're not used to paying attention with our spirits. God says in the scriptures to be still and know that he is God. We hear God better when we're still and turn off the noise around us. As we talk to God, we need to listen with our spirits. As we read God's word, we need to stop and listen to him. He'll make the scriptures come alive. The reason the Bible is so powerful is that it's a spiritual book. So it speaks not only to our minds, but also to our spirits. God is around us all the time, but usually we are unaware of it. So we need to work at sensing God's presence with our spirit. We need to find out where it is we sense God better. Some people sense God's presence when they're out in nature and they see the beauty of nature and the intricacy of his creation. Sometimes our spirits feel God's presence during Holy Communion. Sometimes in our prayers. Sometimes our spirits feel his presence as we worship, or perhaps as we're alone meditating. But our spirits have to develop the sensitivity to feeling God's presence, because it's through being in God's presence that we develop a relationship with God. And as we see who Jesus is and understand more his great love for us, that we grasp better who God is. through spending time in His presence, knowing God better, that we are able to have a real relationship with God. And as our relationship with God grows, those things that are very, very difficult become less difficult. Jesus said to His disciples, "Do you also want to go away?" Like Jack Benny, it's a difficult decision we have to make. It's difficult to really commit to following Jesus, to commit to obeying and serving Him. But let us, like the 12 disciples, develop a relationship with the Lord so that when tough times do come, we can say along with Peter, "We will not go anywhere else. You are the one who has the words of life, and we have come to believe and know that You are the Holy One of God." Amen.